Hello, and welcome to another of our Baird Bites. On this occasion, I'm very pleased to have with us one of the most senior CDU MEPs, Axel Voss. Obviously, being CDU, he's German, and he's been an MEP, a member of the European Parliament, since 2009. And he's been the European People's Party, which is the biggest party in the Parliament, the centre-right grouping in the Parliament. He's been their spokesman on legal policy since 2014. But much more interesting for Berg and HR policy members is that he was the lead shadow rapporteur on the General Data Protection Regulation, which you all know and deeply love. When the GDPR was going through the European Parliament, my colleague Derek Mooney, who was our point man on this, worked closely with Axel Voss's office on trying to get across the concerns about data protection in the employment field, which we saw and still see as somewhat different from the wider general public data protection concerns. And I have to say that Axel and his team were very quick to see and take on board most of the concerns of the business community. Axel recently wrote a somewhat critical article of the way the GDPR has evolved and the stance of some of his political colleagues around the GDPR in Politico recently, which is what spurred us to ask him, would he come and talk to us about that? I understand he's due to publish a comprehensive review of the GDPR shortly, so maybe he might give us a little bit of insight into some of his thinking about that. So, first of all, again, Axel, thank you very much for taking the time from obviously a busy schedule to be with us. What first got you interested in data protection? You know, it seems to us, to outsiders, that is this a particularly German thing? You know, because the Germans seem to have almost an obsession with data protection. Now, I can understand why, given your history, I can understand why. But you know, even today, some of the German data protection regulators are the most missionary about this issue. So how do you see it?
Yes, so first, thank you for the invitation and the possibility also to speak here with you about the GDPR. In Germany, we are obsessed. It might be a kind of a correct word already regarding data protection because of the history in both sides. Of course, at World War II and this time there, and then afterwards in the eastern part and so on. So we would like to know who knows what about whom. So that's why we are very carefully approaching these because of the system what has been in place in former times and also in the former Eastern time part. And that's why we are thinking it's necessary to control it in a way. And then in the beginning of the 80s, I think there was then the situation where Germany should be more, should be get more data. So the government and the administrations, who lives where and so on. And this was a kind of a big outcry also. And then it was also the starting of the data self-determination by the highest court in Germany, so the Bundesverfassungsgericht. And this was a kind of a starting point in creating a data protection law. And this somehow survived all these years. And even now, if you're seeing that the world we are living is more and more data driven, then I saw at the beginning in my term in the European Parliament saying, oh, this might be a quite of a very good challenge. to balance data protection and the developments in technical or technologies and so on. And that's why I've got more and more interest in this part.
Before you became an MEP, you were a lecturer in European affairs, I understand, in, now I'm not sure I got this right, the Reinhardt campus. So what were your interests before you became an MEP?
So I finished my education, and but my political interest started more than less when I have been a kind of an intern at the UN in New York, and that's why then all of a sudden you are more politically approached, and then it started that I was more interested in these. And during the university and also the practical term afterwards, I had always the interest in European law. And that's why then I became a kind of a legal advisor to the commission in Germany. And then I became this lecturer also on European affairs and international affairs in, at the Reinhardt campus. And then all of a sudden also I entered the politics in, on a regional level. And so, and then I started to think, oh, we have to do here more, more and more. And then all of a sudden
you're in the European Parliament.
Yes, I had the opportunity to run for these European Parliament elections in 2009. And this was a kind of a starting point once again to have a totally different life.
Yeah. I remember well when the General Data Protection Regulation was first published, I got an email from a colleague in America to say, Tom, what is this? We're looking at potential penalties of 20 million euro or 4% of your global turnover. Could you tell me what this is all about? So I said, well, I better go and find out. And then I looked at the size of the document, you know, and as you know better than I know that European documents, after reading about 10 pages, you're suicidal, right? And, you know, after 15 pages, you're asking God to come and take you, you know. They're not exactly easy documents to read, are they?
No, not at all. And when the proposal was submitted, I had to read this twice or three times before I understood what they would like to have regulated. So, of course, you are accustomed a little bit to data protection, of course, but then coming to the details and in this totally different digital world where you have effects with something what you think, oh, in old times this is something what really protects you, but in this digital world all of a sudden this is totally the reverse, and so you have a totally different effect. So this is but I can understand this is not easy to read, it's not easy to understand and to handle. And I know I was complaining since I think 2015 already that this is too much bureaucracy, what we are asking for. So, but I haven't had majorities at that time. So, it was not really my will to handle this in such a way, but this was the majority of the parliament at least voted on. And so, we have a kind of a love and hate situation here for the GDPR.
Yeah, you. Where did I see it? You said somewhere, yes, that Europe has a love-hate relationship with the General Data Protection Regulation. And I think you went on to say the creation of our golden standard of data protection is a great achievement, but that it has come to be seen as something untouchable. That ranks above all other legal interests and fundamental rights with no exception. And you went on to say that some of your political colleagues seem to think that, you know, the GDPR is untouchable and takes precedence over practically everything else. And you particularly mentioned, for example, the sharing of data around the coronavirus vaccine. You think it's gone that far?
Yes. So if you're looking to the general principle, what we have created here is that we are saying more than less in the first sentence, please do not process data. And this now in a world where the world is data driven, mm-hmm. it doesn't make really sense. So probably we can't change this, but so the data protection regulation, so the GDPR is already now, we have voted on it 2016, it's in force since 2018, and now we have developed again and again and again, so the technology, and now we are seeing that if we are coming to, for instance, blockchain, you can't delete your personal data any longer. If we are coming to a strategic relevant technology like AI, as artificial intelligence, you need an enormous amount of data to train the algorithms. And also you need to have personal data also to have the better results in it. So if you don't want to have a kind of a, or if you would like to have a gender balanced situation, if you would like to have non-discriminatory results, and therefore you need a lot of data. Also, if you're coming to the pandemic situation, if you would like to research and develop vaccines, to develop also other knowledge here, you need all these health data records at the end to train your algorithms and to come forward. And that's why I'm saying the world has developed, but we are living in the data protection principles of the 80s. And this can't be the right way forward.
It sometimes seems to us that there is almost a cult of data protectionists. You know, I use the words advisedly, but that, you know, you have data protection activists who are forever complaining about their data being exported to America, even though they've freely given up the data in the first instance. And you also appear to have a cadre of data protection supervisors and data protection authorities who appear to believe that their fundamental task is to look for mistakes so that they can fine companies rather than to put systems in place that genuinely protect citizens. Almost like that the issue of data protection has been captured by some special interests. And I think that's what you're saying in a more sophisticated way than I'm saying it.
Yes, so my experience is, even if you would like to criticize the GDPR, that this is not really balanced in some special cases, or that we can be clearer, legally clearer, or something like this. So there's always, I think, a kind of a stereotype behavior by the, let's say, political opponents here. They're saying, oh, FOSS is only interested in bringing down the data protection and so on. But this is not really true. What I would like to have is a kind that we will have a chance in Europe to survive digitally, and therefore we need data. And we have some technologies around to balance this better. On the one hand side, to protect the individual, and to protect the privacy of the individual, and on the other hand side, leave space for innovation and also developments. And therefore, I'm asking only for catching up or to modernize the GDPR with the reality. And I think this is not too much to ask, but it seems a kind of a problem that there is no political will around to modernize this. And I think it's totally necessary. And on the contrary, I would say, if we are not doing this, if we are not flexible as a legislator and not modernizing the GDPR, we will face situations where the privacy or data might be infringed at the end because we are not flexible enough in coming to a better balance. But this is not understood so far, it seems, by the political opponents in a way, or they do not want to discuss this again. Probably they are fearing, and this is something what I'm hearing from the Commission, from the European Commission, that they are fearing that all of a sudden we are talking about the whole data protection regulation. But this shouldn't be the case. If we are concentrating on some specific problems, we can improve. And this is what I would like to have. And if we are not bringing us in a better position here, then we do not provide data enough also for innovation. And this then all of a sudden will turn out as a kind of going down in prosperity and wealth because we can't create business models based on data or digital.
Do you see, Axel, an opportunity for a discussion around these issues now that the Commission has put the artificial intelligence regulation on the table? I mean, surely that regulation has got to be discussed in the context of data protection issues as well.
Yes, you're totally right. There is an opportunity now to do so. I'm not sure if this will be taken up by the others in a way, because in March we have had a kind of a resolution in also reviewing or evaluating the GDPR, and this chance was not taken on board by the majority in the so-called Liebe Committee, so the Committee for Internal Affairs. And of course, this might be now a chance in also discussing these, and also the so-called Data Governance Act, where we would like to create data spaces, is also the same idea that we are not providing too much data. And therefore, I do not see if we can really go around the GDPR, even if we have competition and economy in mind. So therefore, from my point of view, we should discuss this. So I will come out with a kind of, with a paper next week or the week after next week with a long list of criticism of the GDPR. And I hope that some of my colleagues are taking this serious, or the Commission is taking this more serious, that we can making amendments to the GDPR very specifically, that we do not discuss the whole issue again. And this would be a kind of a good way forward. But if there is no political will, then of course they might even not take note of this, what I will do here with my paper.
I tell you, whatever your political colleagues, I think the business community will certainly take note of it, because we do have, and we do hear a lot of concerns, especially, as I said to you a few moments ago, that sometimes it comes across that the attitude of some of the data protection authorities appears to be, let's catch them doing something wrong and fine them as much money as we can, rather than how do we put a system in place that protects citizens' rights, but at the same time does not cut off European innovation.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom, but on AI, for instance, we have already companies who are moving out of Europe because they would like to train their algorithms and developing a kind of an AI business model somewhere else and then coming back to the market. But this shouldn't be the case at the end. If we are creating something that they would all of them, not all of them, but a lot of them would like to think about to move abroad outside the European Union. So, but this shouldn't be the intention. We should create a frame what is supporting European business also in developing and so on. And therefore, I'm getting more and more, more serious in thinking about how we will survive in Europe or as Europe between these or in the sandwich position between US and China. And therefore we need the strategy. And one of these points should be also thinking about a more updated version of the GDPR and more frame for artificial intelligence. And this might then go together.
Yeah, no, it does worry us that our concern for data privacy risks becoming a sort of data protectionism. And we understand what protectionism means when it comes to goods and so on. But the idea that Europe should somehow or other be an island, you know, with this big fortress around it and so on. I mean, look, anybody who's ever read anything I've written knows that I have absolutely no time for Brexit. And this is my mention of the English, by the way, because the Scots and the Irish didn't vote for this stuff. But for instance, it does concern me that we could see a data border between the European Union and the UK. And that can't be good for European business. Having a data border between the European Union and the US can't be good for European business. At the same time, you know, we see, well, the reason we can't send data to the US is because the CIA might have a look at it. But if you send data to France, the French aren't behind, as we Irish would say, aren't very slow in looking at the French intelligence services. So are we applying double standards?
Yes. So you are also right. Since the Brexit, we might have some more problems. But it's also a kind of a political interpretation of all of these. So we are agreeing now on these, this trade agreement, and therefore also data should be included. And that's why you can't at the end say no, we can't transfer data to the the UK. So that's why I think we have to be very careful here. Of course, what's creating a lot of problems, if you are looking to the ECJ, so the European Court of Justice, with his Schrems judgment, then it seems that we get a lot of problems in this balance of national security and data protection. So, of course, I would still say this is overinterpreted by the European side and probably too less interpreted by the other side. But we need to strike a balance here that the data protection is not overruling life, is not overruling security, not overruling health, and so on. If you're looking to these a discussion also, especially in Germany, once again, regarding these COVID warn apps. So we have a 150% data protection solution, but we do not have a kind of a good management solution for the pandemic situation. And this has to be better balanced, and this should be done also by us. But if we are only approaching these ideologically, then life, health, security is lost. And this is why I try to be the voice in being more moderate here and trying to get both and not only one approach of these. So, but this is what I'm trying, and I hope somebody will hear me.
Okay, so I have two final questions for you. The first one is easy. The first one is, when you have your paper published, you know, would you be open to coming back and talking to a wider business audience about your concerns and hearing their concerns? And sort of as part of that question, you know, I take it that you would welcome hearing from businesses about their concerns around these matters.
So, yes. So to the first question, I hope in 2 weeks' time we can submit this paper. And then I will spread this also to colleagues here in the House and to the politicians nationally and so on. And just making them think that there are problems already there and that we should be flexible enough to update the GDPR.
And we would be more than happy to help you circulate that paper throughout the business community.
Yes, now, wonderful. I will send it to you then.
Can I ask you a second question? And you can answer this. You can answer this one with no comment. So tell me, how do you see the German general election? As I say, you can answer that one with no comment.
Yeah. Yes. So I would like to say no comment because the situation for our party is not the best. But I still hope that we will have also here a kind of a coalition at the end, what might balance the ideological situation on the one hand side and the more pragmatical at the other hand side. So, but it might be end up with a kind of black-green, or it might end up with green-red-red. So it depends a little bit. I'm not sure about this, but I can't comment beyond this because this is just something reading in the future.
Are you tempted to go back and stand for election to national parliament in Germany yourself?
No. I try to be a European, and I'm doing this quite well. And I would say the national parliaments throughout the European Union are too egocentric right now. We have to have more in common. If we are joining forces, then we might be a kind of a third power between the EU and the US and the Chinese. But if we are not joining forces, then we will be small.
Okay, so Axel, it was a pleasure to talk to you. You know, we really appreciate the work you're doing in the European Parliament, not just on behalf of the business community, but on behalf of all European citizens who believe that, you know, the European project is the best way for us to live together as a continent. So thank you so much for taking the time. And we look forward to talking to you again, because I don't think this subject is going to go away. So thank you, Axel.
I'm looking forward to talk to you again. It was a pleasure for me. And thanks a lot once again for the invitation.
Okay. And to all of you who watch this, we'll see you again the next time. Thank you.